Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price!
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you!
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Bret Hart gets attacked. Enzo and Cass invade Ring of Honor, and WWE gave us quantity, as they always do, but what did you think of the quality? Good evening, wrestling fans, or should I say good morning? We are past the midnight hour, and we are live tonight on TSN Radio for Sunday night's main event, Canada's foremost wrestling radio program, coming at you with the assistance of Vape Nation, Canada's premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. Now, you may have just sat through 7+ hours of wrestling, and now it's time to talk about, debate, and react to what you just watched, and we're here to be your moderators. My name is Jason Agnew, joined tonight by my longtime broadcast partner, Dan the Mouth of Ransky and Mouth. We've been here for an 8-hour workday already, so, you know, what's a couple of hours of overtime, right?
It's absolutely insane. I can't believe it. We've been here since like 5 o'clock in the evening. It's now like 12:30 in the morning. We've eaten like 75 pizzas. We're going strong. And you know, when there's a show this big, there's always good, bad, and ugly. Well, we're going to go through and we're going to talk about every one of those aspects. And then the part that is really exciting for me and Jay, we want to hear from you. What did you think of WrestleMania 2019?
You got it. The phone lines are already open. It's 1-866-729-2562. The Sunday Night Survey is online. It's up on Twitter at SNME Radio, and it's just about what you thought of tonight's show. And we are also going to check in with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, doing the Wrestling Observer Insider, of course. Probably get into the Bret Hart situation that happened with Dave, because that was just so
bizarre,
so strange, like from a different era. And we'll also crown our champion tonight with the culmination of our Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. And in the classic style, we shall do 2 out of 3 falls for our finale.
Nice.
We're going to take a break and come on back to run down WrestleMania 35 right here on Sunday night's main event. And tonight, we celebrate our 1-year anniversary on TSN 1150.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Wait, that bad leg of Ronda Rousey not allowing her to get to her feet. Now she finally does.
Struggling to post and put the weight needed on her.
Piper's pit.
Left leg.
Oh, shoulders down. Shoulders down.
Take it.
Who run the world, girls? Who run the world, girls?
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. That was the, well, dare I say, big finish, because I think Michael Cole might have been the only person excited about that finish tonight, Dan Lavransky.
Yeah,
it came out of nowhere.
That was exactly it. In the main event of the show, I expected the finish to be something a little bit more spectacular, and I was also surprised that Ronda was the one that got pinned. Very interesting finish to that match, but we'll get to that, because we're going to go through the whole thing now for you.
Yeah, we're going to try to get through this and plow through it, but I mean, there was just so much content tonight in this show. I mean, a record setting, what was it, 7.5 hours of a show that we watched. And I gotta say, Mouth, for the first half of this, it was well paced and moved along nicely. I was sitting here 3.5 hours in, I'm like, hey, I still feel great.
Yeah, me too. And it got to this one great part. It peaked. And then it started to go down
the hill.
Yeah, right off the escarpment. Off the cliff. Yes.
Hey, it's WrestleMania 35. It's coming at us from New York. We're going to talk about all the festivities this week. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, Lavransky in studio. Agnew here, of course, your pair for Sunday nights. We started with the WrestleMania pre-show. This hit the ring about 5:30 or so. They sent this match in. The Cruiserweight Championship mouth. Buddy Murphy walking in as our champion tonight versus what I thought was a very anticlimactic challenger,
right,
being Tony Nese. I think you and I both thought that Buddy Murphy would be retaining here because Nese wasn't someone new. They've rolled down this path before. Well, we were both wrong. And Nese is your new champion here. I think the thing that I was most happy about was that they weren't performing in front of no one.
Yes.
They got the doors open. There was a crowd there to see these guys. It was hard to hype up the crowd because it's 205 Live. Majority don't know who they are.
Exactly. Majority don't know who they are. People are still settling in their seats and things and getting ready. And it was quick. It was right off the top. Only 11 minutes long. But a good little match. The Cruiserweights always do good little matches. And yeah, Tony Nese winning is definitely a surprise for me. I thought he was just kind of a place marker in this.
Yeah, so me too.
I was surprised that they took it off him. But there you go. We'll see what happens.
The Women's Battle Royal for a terrible trophy. Like, no stipulations here.
Oh, so ugly. That trophy was so ugly. It was the stupid little ribbons hanging on it. It was, you know what? It's like they built it and they got it back from the manufacturer and went, it doesn't look very good. We got to do something. Oh, yeah, we'll put a couple ribbons on it.
Okay,
that was ugly.
If you're not going to, they can't do Moolah. They've got something for Mae Young. After all the hype with China this year, why not make this the China Memorial Battle Royale?
There you go.
If they're going to do something. Like, why not?
It should have a name. Why does the men's have a specific thing?
Well,
like,
they tried. They couldn't do Moolah because of all the controversy, right?
Well, then they should rethink it. Yeah, give it someone else's name.
So we had a bunch of people announced for this earlier in the week. There were a few surprises here. Candice LeRae was in there. Maria Ember Moon makes her return.
Yes.
I'm just going to keep using the word anticlimactic because it was, again, Ember Moon, someone who had a lot of hype around her before getting injured, comes back in, gets a few spots here, but really doesn't do much.
Nope.
Kairi Sane is in here. She is making her way up at least the main roster for this. All the women come out, and then Naomi and Asuka get entrances unto themselves. And as I mentioned, once the match got started, Mouth Ember Moon got a lot of emphasis. A clips on Lana, Naomi, and Mandy, then eliminated by Lana.
Yes.
Lana, a limited crowd, hates this. I actually thought she was going to win once I saw her in there.
In her Wonder Woman costume.
Not Lana. I mean, I thought Ember Moon was going to win once I saw her in there. Here's another thing that happened. I never, ever thought in my life, Mouth, that I would hear a Dana Brooke chant.
Well, they gave her some pretty good spots there. She tossed like two or three people out in a row. Yeah, it was crazy. But, I mean, it came down to kind of what you'd expect anyways, right? At the end, we had Asuka, Sarah Logan, Sonya Deville. Logan left, but Carmella comes back as she wasn't eliminated. They did that old school. So it seems to be almost a trademark of every battle royal now that someone sneaks out and then finds her way back in. So Carmella comes back in. And she tosses them. I believe it was
Sarah Logan.
Yeah, I believe
Sarah Logan
was
in there at the end. She had eliminated Sonya Deville and Asuka.
That's right. So Carmella tossed her out. So Carmella wins. I actually picked her to win.
We'll get to our bet a little bit later, my friend, because you did well tonight, to say the least. The Arog Tag Team Championship is next. This is the Revival versus Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. This was added late.
Yeah.
Listen, you got Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. They're both from the New York area, and they got the streak going. This is an ideal opportunity. The only thing, Mouth, that I thought may have put a wrench in this was the fact that Dash Wilder got a lot of publicity this week for punching Bret Hart's attacker, cold cocking him on his way out.
Nice uppercut, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in some trouble for that from the authorities. But nonetheless, the New York boys that are riding high, the losing streak is over, and we have got new champs. Roll up victory. Hawkins and Dawson.
Yeah.
Hawkins and Ryder.
Hawkins and Ryder. There you go. I mean, whether they did it here, they did it on Raw, you kind of knew it was coming. It is the kind of the culmination of the story. We'll see what this does for the Revival. And well, actually, I mean, really, will they give Hawkins and Ryder much of a push with this? I mean, they do. I know they have the titles now, but I'd be curious to see. They keep them maybe, what, till the next pay-per-view?
Mouth, do we not remember what happened with Zack Ryder when he won the Intercontinental title?
Right, there, he lost it the very next night.
It was a very quick turnaround, to say the least.
So Could see the same thing happen here.
The men's battle royal is our fourth match of the night. Everybody comes in. Luke Harper is in there. He seems to be the only unexpected person in the match. Colin Jost and Michael Che get an entrance. Jost is getting cheap heat wearing an Odell Beckham jersey, and Che is wearing headgear, from what I can tell, under a bit of a hood. The Hardys and Strowman also get entrances. The bell rings, and much like Carmella, Che and Jost immediately duck under the ring. It's completely, completely obvious what is going to happen. Yeah. I went and picked up the pizza at this point, and I came back and I got Braun tossing around Che and Jost.
Yeah, that's it. The battle royal plays out. They come back out. The Hardys were in there. They're trying to toss Braun Strowman out, but he ends up tossing the Hardys. So that's left Colin and Michael with Braun. Colin gets on the mic and said that there doesn't need to be violence. And he brings a therapist into the ring. He goes, Braun, here's my therapist. I want him to help you work through your anger.
Weird.
Very weird. Yeah. They have this thing with therapists and anger.
They
in
really
the WWE.
Do.
They
yeah.
really like working that angle. He talked to him, and of course, Braun choke slammed him. Colin called for Che to get him. Che tried to get out, and Braun slapped him, and he fell off the apron. And then Strowman went for the boot, but got caught up in the ropes, and Colin tried to toss him, but he couldn't. And then he grabbed Colin and tossed him out to the guys on the outside. They all caught Colin. So actually, Colin took a bit of a bump there.
He did, yeah.
And they caught him, and so Strowman is the winner of this, who, again...
No purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because he had already won the Greatest Royal Rumble. This became... There was so much... You know, I was monitoring Twitter and Facebook, and this was hated by everyone out there.
Like, no doubt. I mean, especially once it gets... It's bad enough that we have two guys from Saturday Night Live, and then the therapist thing was just ridiculous. And, you know, you had guys in there that could have made use of this, like Mustafa Ali or EC3 or some of these other guys. I didn't even hardly see EC3. I didn't even notice when he got eliminated. He was such a non-entity
this
match.
That's his character. Yes, non-entity is his character.
So. Yeah, yeah, non-entity 3. I guess we should change his name because that seems to be what it is.
NE3, from EC3 to NE3 is what he is.
That's what we're going
to
start calling him, I think, NE3.
WrestleMania begins at this point. Alexa Bliss comes out. She is the host. She introduces Hulk Hogan. He works the stage because the ring is too far for him to get down to.
Yeah, he's not walking anywhere.
He makes fun of his Silverdome blunder from a few years ago, and I guarantee you this next thing was not a blunder. He then calls
the MetLife
Center. Yes. And I'm pretty sure that's not a blunder. That's him. That is a blunder. That's him messing up. It is not a joke.
Well, the fact that Corey brought it up as soon as Hogan stopped, I would say he was making a joke and then went and made the exact same mistake again.
So at this point, Paul Heyman comes through as these two are doing their poses. He struts right down to the ring, gets inside, and says if his client is not on last, then
they aren't waiting.
He wants to get out of there, go to Vegas, where his client is ultimately appreciated. And it's the Universal title match.
Yep.
Brock
right
Lesnar, your champion, versus Seth Rollins. Seth comes down, they don't ring the bell, and Brock just goes on a rampage and beats the tar out of Seth Rollins' mouth.
Yeah, exactly. He threw him all over ringside, tossed him to the announcer's desk. He tossed him back into the ring, and the ref checked him, and then Brock threw him out again. About 5 minutes of him beating up on Rollins before the match actually started. And then just as Seth comes back in, we get the match started. He pushes Brock into the referee. So the referee, not only do we have all this silliness, we get a ref bump right off the top, and then Seth gives Brock the low blow. Another referee comes in, and Rollins is able to give him 3 curb stomps, and he pins him and wins. It was the match itself was literally over in like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and it was crazy. Not what I expected at all. I thought Brock would keep the win in this one because it seemed like a lot of the other baby faces would probably be winning on the show. So I thought Brock was going to win here. And to Brock's credit, he really sold the beating.
Yeah,
he stayed in the ring a long time before he got out of there. So there you go. I don't know if this means Brock is moving on or if they just wanted to swerve all of us. But as it stands right now, Seth Rollins wins the title in a very, very short, quick match.
AJ Styles versus Randy Orton is our next match on the show. It really felt like Orton got a lot of offense in this match, I found. But AJ pulled it out in the end. I mean, he kicked out of an RKO in this match, which is pretty rare, and the finish was a phenomenal forearm, and AJ gets the win, something that we kind of didn't think was going to happen, this being the beginning of the feud. You know, we had seen Orton get the advantage on the TV, but I still kind of thought that maybe they would put him over here to continue it on. I think the feud will continue, but what'd you take out of this match, Mouth?
Well, the main thing, I mean, it was good. Both of the guys did a great working match, but again, there was really no emotional involvement for me in this feud going into it, so I just kind of found the match to be there, and I thought the same from the crowd. I think maybe they were a little bit stunned coming off that Lesnar-Rollins match too, the fact where it was placed and how fast it was, but I got the feeling that the match was good, but that no one was really like emotionally involved with it. And
well, it was a bit of a popcorn match simply because you came off such a high. There were such stakes in that first match, and there were no stakes in this match.
Well, that's what I'm saying. After that big heavy-duty opening, I think the crowd was just kind of like, okay, whatever. There's nothing really into this. And it was a pretty simple win with him, the flying forearm off the top, and that's it. Pinned him.
There's more to come with these guys. We're running down WrestleMania 35. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, this epic card that we watch. Dan Lavransky and Jason Agnew here with you live tonight. Going to be taking your calls in a bit, but we got to get through our rundown first, and sorry about it. It's a little bit lengthy tonight,
it's
simply
long
because of how the show rolled out. Match number 7 was a fatal 4-way for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The Usos are your champions going in versus The Bar versus Ricochet and Aleister Black, and then the Forgotten Ones, Nakamura and Rusev. That's what I'll call them. Yeah,
yeah,
NE3 and the Forgotten Ones should get together.
Oh.
Mouth, you know, I really thought after watching TakeOver, which was a great show, and Ricochet and Black clearly losing there and moving on, that, well, my thought is, well, you don't want to have them lose twice. The Usos are great, but maybe this can be a feud between the two of them. It's fresh. It's new. I think we switched the titles here. I was wrong.
Yeah, I was kind of following that same sort of logic as well. I thought this would be a good point for Black and Ricochet. I mean, that match, I got to say quickly, that match they had a takeover with the War Raiders was
great.
That just blew me out of the water. I mean, I thought it was the best match of the night. I really did. So I was really hoping that they would get him a bit of a push here, but no, it doesn't appear to be that way. Not a lot to the match, 10 minutes. The cool spot was Sheamus giving Ricochet a major long swing. I think that probably made...
Cesaro giving Ricochet swing, and then Sheamus was beating, taking turns beating everyone else up on the ropes. It was, I don't know if I've seen a swing this long. Like, it was
really,
tremendous.
Like, I'm sure Cesaro was really dizzy by the end of this one then, and they tried to do one of those crazy multi-man suplex spots off the top, but yeah, the Usos win with their double move off the top, and they pin Sheamus. So, yeah, there you go. Usos retain.
They do a recap of the Hall of Fame ceremony, leaving out the most exciting part, which we will touch on later, of course. They announced that they're all in the arena. No one attacked Brett this time. There is a DX entrance. They get the entrance. I was sitting here going, if you want to integrate this, no better time than right now for Batista to come out and attack Triple H while he's celebrating. And because ultimately, Triple H is going to get the victory. Like, that's one that we much knew, right?
And at least it would give you a little bit of a surprise start, because this match to me needed all the help it can get. I didn't really like the build up leading into it, and I wasn't really looking forward to it. So that would have been a pretty cool way to get people excited, but
instead we got your other favorite match coming up next.
Yes.
Shane McMahon versus The Miz. And with this, you have George Mizanin sitting at ringside. Oh, but wait, not just sitting there, because, Miz's dad gets involved in this match, Mouth.
Oh, yeah, of course. He had to get in there. He actually ends up getting in the ring. This one, you kind of knew where it was going, because Shane really dominated a lot of the match here. There was one part where Shane was going to give Miz the big elbow off from the post to the floor, and Miz's dad ran out to stop him. Shane invited him into the ring, and he eventually beat up on him, which brought Miz back, of course, to go crazy on Shane. And they did... this one is expected because it's Falls Count Anywhere, and Shane's got to do his big spots, right? So they had to do that. They were fighting amongst the big support beams that they had in the stadium with WrestleMania written on them. They fought amongst all the secondary foreign announce teams. This show, it wasn't enough to just take out the Spanish table. They took out that whole row where almost all the foreign announce teams are.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was fun that they finally, because we see them every single pay-per-view. We see these foreign announcers lined up, and to have someone go there and wrestle down the line, I thought it was a creative spot for a match that I really wasn't looking forward to.
Right. There was another crazy one where Miz threw Shane off the top of a golf cart that was there. He took a kind of a weird bump off that. And then they were fighting on this big scaffolding unit that was there for the cameras. And they had to have the big bump, of course. So Miz suplexed him off the scaffolding down to this big safety bag that they could both land in and made a lot of noise and everything. But when they did it, even though Miz was the one doing the suplex, Shane landed on top of Miz. The referee came over and counted. They were both knocked out, but Shane was on top of Miz, so the ref counts. He pins, so Shane wins the match, which I kind of, expected.
I kind of thought it would be the other way. But anyhow, we are halfway through our rundown here. We have got to take a break for the top of the hour. I know we're starting at a bit of a weird time, and it's a long rundown. We're going to come back. We're going to get back into the Women's Tag Team Championship was next and run all through WrestleMania 35 and then get into your phone calls. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine, in Stony Creek at the corner of Paramount and Mud, in Brantford at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza, in Oakville at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Bailey, top rope. Are you kidding me? Glove slam! The cover to win the gold! And now the Iconics, Billy Kenny!
Oh my God!
You can be now.
Well, there you have it. Who could it be? It's the Iconics, and they are your new Women's Tag Team Champions. And for those of you that didn't realize, that was Paige. That was the guest commentator there that happened to be doing the screaming. The Iconics mouth, I mean, they're, I guess, the best tag team act.
Yes.
The act is what they have got going on. They remind me, like, the wrestlers from 1986, though.
Yeah, I know. This was a total surprise for me to win this, for them to win this match, because I agree with you. As in terms of personalities and characters, I think they're absolutely fantastic. I love when they cut promos, but their in-ring work does really not leave a lot. So I was really surprised. I kind of thought that Sasha and Bayley would keep it here, but we had them and the Iconics, and of course Tamina and Nia Jax, and we had Natty and Beth Phoenix. They all worked together, and we heard the pin there at the end with Beth after the glam slam. She was going to get the pin on Bayley, but Peyton ran in and threw Beth off, and then Billy ran on top of her on Bayley and pinned her and got the win, got the titles. I can't see them keeping them for a long time.
Well, who's going to take it off them, though? I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, I'm not sure. I guess they're going to shift Bayley and Sasha over and have them work with them on SmackDown now, because I really don't know who else. I guess they could do Mandy and Sonya Deville and work that feud. Mm. But you kind of need a babyface team. So there's not really another solid team. I'm curious to see the promos with the belts. I think they could be entertaining.
Yes.
I'm also happy Billie Kay survived after a botched Samoan drop from Nia Jax, which looked like almost broke her leg.
Yeah.
Match number 10 is the WWE Championship. It's Kofi Kingston going for the promised land versus Daniel Bryan, who's your champion. There's a Kofi Mania chant. Everyone is gathered around in the back.
It was insane in this one with the audience, with the signs.
This is the peak.
It is.
It's the peak of the show.
It seemed like everybody in the audience had a Kofi sign of some kind. They were just so wound up. They got into this one instantly, and they gave him a nice long time. They had 24 minutes for this match, and it was lots of crazy stuff from Kofi doing dives. As Jay mentioned, they showed a bunch of the mid-carders watching backstage. The crowd just got hotter and hotter. Both guys worked really, really well, and Kofi ends up winning with the Trouble in Paradise, and they even unveiled a new belt, a proper metal-looking belt. He doesn't have to take around the all, the proper consumer one there.
The hemp belt, yes.
There that Daniel Bryan had. I totally agree. To me, this was the peak of the show. This was the best match of the show. This is the best crowd reactions in the show. And like Jay said earlier, up until here, the pacing and everything was pretty good. I mean, yep. There's a couple silly things here and there, but overall, I was kind of like, hey, I'm enjoying the show. I love this match. And then after this, it just, as you'll see, for me, it just really starts to head off the cliff.
So here we go. We get a vignette with Colin Jost and Michael Che, in which Hall and Nash appear as doctors and want to offer a prostate exam.
That's
delightful.
That Vince was in heaven with that gag. Vince probably loved that gag.
The U.S. Championship is next. Now, Rey Mysterio was hurt on SmackDown, and I'm guessing that's the reason why this became a squash match. It was 30 seconds, and Samoa Joe tapped him up. I don't know what happened to the Dominic storyline here. He wasn't at ringside.
Nope.
We never saw him. They just kind of pushed it out of the way. There's not much more to say about this match.
Yeah, I think just because I'm guessing Rey was still hurt, so they just said, you know, we got to get this done. You can't do a match. We'll just have Joe get the big, strong win.
Rey had a bit of an Aquaman thing going on, and it's too bad Aquaman, the movie, wasn't 30 seconds.
Ooh, bad movie.
Match number 12, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. I 100% checked out of this match. I had no interest,
Mouth. Me neither, Jay. Me neither. And neither did the crowd.
Nope.
And especially after what they had just seen, right? To put this match in after, close to Kofi and Bryan and the Joe squash. The crowd was really quiet. I didn't think it was an interesting match. He pinned him with a spear. The crowd didn't seem to care about this one, despite the leukemia angle going in and stuff. And yeah, it was just kind of there. It was just there.
It was just there. That's what it was. There wasn't really much stakes attached to it.
I mean, the guy you expected won, you know, Roman
Reigns won, yeah. After this, it's the Elias segment. We get Elias, and Elias. He's playing the piano. He's playing drums. And then he's in the ring playing guitar. So he's up on the screen. Then he's interrupted by a video with Babe Ruth in it calling his shot. And I'm like, I was very confused with what was going on here, and even more confused when I saw John Cena come out as Thugonomics John Cena. He raps. It was a segment.
He raps, and it was crap. It was terrible.
It's not far enough ago to be nostalgia yet, I don't think.
And it's just, and it's too out of the blue, for God's sake. There was no hint of this or anything.
No.
It's just, all of a sudden? I mean, because look, there was all this talk that Cena was going to be involved in WrestleMania. And it's like, we kind of figured it might be something with Elias, but there was also talk that he was going to be somehow involved in the angle match. Maybe he was going to be a referee in the angle match was a rumor going around. And so to have him come out in this, which I just think, again, okay, it's WrestleMania. But the thing is, Cena took it seriously. He played it like he did back in the day.
He's an actor now, Mouth.
He didn't. There was no wink, wink. It wasn't ironic.
No.
It wasn't like, I'm kind of fun, having some fun with my old gimmick. He played it like he was really that character. And to me, that's what ruined it. And I just thought it was, really stupid. It did absolutely nothing for me. I thought it was...
It was there.
Stupid.
It was there.
It was just really stupid.
It was better than what's coming up next.
Oh,
and that's,
boy.
This is it, friends. This is it. Triple H versus Batista. I mean, we knew we were in for something that wasn't going to be good, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Shawn Michaels is on commentary. He just made things worse. Batista, he's driven out in a black SUV. He gets pyro. He threatens Triple H's dad at ringside. He then shockmasters himself into the ring, falling over the second rope and stumbling into the ring. That stumble was basically the outline of what the entire match would be.
It was just ridiculous. I mean, Triple H gets this whole Mad Max kind of vignette, and he comes out in this ridiculous-looking Mad Max, half Mad Max, half Skull and Bones vehicle. It just looked really, really stupid, I thought. And just the stuff in this, you know, Triple H using a chain. He actually tried to use pliers on Batista's fingers at one point.
Pulled his nose ring out.
Yeah, it pulled his nose ring out with the pliers. I have written down here, the crowd does not care and neither do I. It was just boring. It was plotting. It was all mostly all outside the ring, so it could all be smoke and mirrors because Batista can't really work a solid match. And to me, it was 24 minutes, which we knew would happen because Triple H. But you know what? Batista was blown up long before those 24 minutes. There were parts to me where it looked like I thought he was going to pass out, and I don't think it was selling. I think he was genuinely blown up. And Triple H speared Batista through the German desk, and then Flair eventually comes down because, of course, Batista beat up Flair to start this angle. He gives Trips another sledgehammer because Batista had gotten the one that Trips had earlier. And then Triple H gave him a shot with the hammer, a pedigree, and pins him. The finish is just what we thought. I wish it didn't take us so long to get there. And yeah, just again, no one, the crowd didn't care, and I don't suspect most people watching at home cared either. If you did, call in and tell us why, because I would love to know why.
Match number 14 is Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. It's the Kurt Angle retirement match. JBL shows up on commentary. Now, remember that timeout that Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, and all they did was do cutaways of the crowd? Well, this was this year's version of that. Because I can't believe I'm saying this. Baron Corbin beat Kurt Angle clean in his retirement match with a deep six. And all Kurt wanted after that was for the crowd to chant, "You suck," at him.
Yeah.
This was... Yeah. This is an embarrassment.
It was really bad. And I know a lot of you out there are going to say, well, you know, the guy on the way out should be laying down for the guy that's got to stay. And I'm like, well, not in this case. I don't think so. This is Kurt Angle. He's a major star. Everybody loves his character. And the fact that he had to do this for Baron Corbin, who really is almost a lost cause at this point. I don't think anyone really cares about Baron Corbin. And plus, he's really bad in the ring. And then you've got Kurt Angle, who just... from years of injuries, is not great in the ring anymore either. This should have been really quick to me with Angle winning with an ankle lock on Corbin, and that was it. I don't know what they were thinking here. Honestly, in this case, I really think Kurt Angle should have won his retirement match. And again, another feel-good moment. WrestleMania is all about these moments that make you feel good, and this did not make me feel good. It made me feel sick, actually, to see that they went this route when really Kurt Angle should have won his retirement match.
After that, we had The Demon versus Bobby Lashley. I was involved in a whole bunch of technical issues. We almost didn't get on the air tonight, guys, but we're here and we're talking to you.
This was great. This was great as I'm sitting here concentrating on watching the pay-per-view, and Jay and his vast array of technicians are over here on the other side. Well, we'll try this line
it
here.
It was not great.
-3956XL. Right. You know,
The Demon doesn't lose is what we're trying to say. The Demon doesn't lose. The Demon is now the IC champion. Mouth. Does that mean Balor's the IC champion or just the Demon?
I would think they both get to hold it.
I don't like that.
Again, the match was short, which is what it needed to be. It didn't need to be long. A great entrance for the Demon on this high riser with lots of smoke and stuff. Lashley gets the weird advantage, and he's wearing these weird contacts. What was with the contacts on Lashley? He had these bright yellow contacts.
I didn't see him.
I have no idea why he had those contacts in. The Balor, the Demon, just did the big foot stomp off the top and pinned him. Like I said, short, 4 minutes. There you go. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Demon's the new IC title.
Our final match of the night is the main event, and it's for both women's titles. It's Charlotte who gets a helicopter entrance.
Yes.
Ronda gets Joan Jett. Becky comes out to her music.
It was ridiculous. I could not figure that out. I really thought the Charlotte thing was cool because all of a sudden they cut to overtop the stadium. There's Charlotte in the plane. I'm like, this is just
helicopter,
like her,
right?
Yeah, it's just like her dad
exactly.
In the old days, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, he's coming in for the big match. And, you know, the helicopter lands. They roll a red carpet out for her. They put the robe on her. I'm like, this is really cool. And then we go back to inside the stadium. And then Ronda's coming out to Joan Jett, who I'm a total huge fan, and even just to see one song is great. I'm like, this is really cool. That finishes, and then Becky comes out, and it's just a little bit of pyro and some smoke, and I'm like, why doesn't Becky get anything special here? So that was kind of weird. The match itself was okay. They gave him about 20 minutes. I didn't, you know, it wasn't like a five-star classic or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they did do some interesting spots in it. Charlotte did the Spanish fly off the top rope on Becky. Charlotte also did the figure four on the post with Ronda. And the finish was Rousey was trying to do the Piper's Pit on Becky, but Becky just kind of managed to roll her over a little bit and get Ronda's shoulders down, and the ref did the count, and that was it. So it was kind of a weird kind of finish. It didn't really... It seemed kind of out of nowhere to me.
I agree. Not good.
Yeah, it was kind of an awkward finish. But so Becky does get the win, though. She gets both titles, and that is the way the show should have ended. So I will applaud them for that. But a very strange show in which I kind of liked it up to Brian and Kofi. And then after that, I just thought it kind of... It fell off the cliff after
that. You liked it for 3.5 hours, and that's how long these shows are supposed to be.
Yes, maybe that was what right? It is. Maybe that was, I'm like, okay, this is long enough. We're good. We've had a great culminating moment here with Kofi and Brian. It'd be great to go off the air right now. So, yeah, there you go.
We are going to take your phone calls when we come back from this break. 1-866-729-2562.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Bryant is barely moving. Kofi measuring the champion. Triangle of Paradise. Cover him. Kofi did it. Kofi did it. Kofi did it. Kofi is champion.
Well, Dan Lavransky, Kofi is champion. You know, I might be playing Bob Marley here, but maybe I should be playing Meatloaf, but he needs a new song. 3 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yes,
because
yes.
The stories, you know, we had gone through our six-pack preview and I was positive it was going to be 2 out of 3, whether it's Becky, Kofi, Rollins. We got all three tonight. I guess the trade-in was Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly. That must have been it. Yep.
Hey, we're going to the phones. We're taking your phone calls. We're live tonight here on TSN Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. 1-866-729-2562. There's been a gentleman who's been on the line since the very beginning of the show. He needs his voice to be heard. He is our friend, Greg from the Peg. Greg, let us have it.
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Greg.
Hello.
What is on your mind, dare I ask?
Yes. I am. Kofi gets a bigger pop than Becky. Becky is the hottest person in the company, and Becky is involved in a bad finish. Hence, equal parts that I'm the biggest Charlotte Flair fan known to humankind. I am happy that Charlotte Flair was not involved in that what you could call a botched finish. It was a botched finish. Thank you very much, Dan the Mouth Labrinsky. I will say that this is going to become a... I think this storyline is not finished at all.
It's not. Okay, Greg, hold on, Greg. Let's take a time out here. First of all, you're comparing the pop between the two. Now, one of the arguments I would throw, I agree with you that there was a botched finish at the end, and I think this storyline between Becky and Charlotte will go. But also consider the 3.5 hour mark versus the 7.5 hour mark as well. It's a very tired audience at the end, don't you think?
Yes, but you are basically promoting this as the biggest match in probably in the 35-year history of WrestleMania.
No. Where are you getting that from? That's an insane comment.
In the eyes of the customer, in regards to the promotional work of this.
Not it. No, you cannot tell me that this got nowhere close to the era of Hogan and Andre. I mean,
even
look
Hogan
back
versus the Warrior.
Hogan versus the Warrior at 6. Look at The Rock versus Austin at 17 with the My Way video. That's the one that everyone's going to remember as well. This is nowhere close to that. Come on, Greg. Wrestling's not at its peak. It wasn't promoted like those.
In the age of social media, you're comparing apples to oranges in terms of marketing.
You're the one who just said it was the biggest in the 35-year history. You're the one who's making the comparison.
I'll take that back now.
Okay. We have an understanding.
But the thing is, you're promoting it like it's like, okay, in terms of the social media era of WrestleMania, that we wanted a, I will say, a coronation, a biblical type of finish, and we get this.
Greg,
come on.
What do you? Greg.
I think you were getting caught up in the whole idea that they're pushing this as the first women's main event. More than that, rather than saying they were promoting this as the biggest match in the history of WrestleMania, the idea was what this is the women finally get to headline WrestleMania, and that's what we saw. But unfortunately, when you make WrestleMania a 7-hour show, it's going to affect the way the crowd is, even if they do want to see Becky win and they are hyped for the match. It's just a really long time to sit there and be excited. You can't be excited at the same level when you've been there that long.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, Greg, all of your points weren't insane. The one about the botched finish was completely right.
Well, I wonder, it certainly did look that way, although I wonder if they did that so they can do like the controversial thing where Ronda's maybe, there's going to be the controversy that Ronda's one shoulder wasn't down all the way.
Why do that though? I mean, you know, you do that because it ruined. This is okay. To Greg's point, this was promoted big. To your point, this is the first women's main event. So let's put the stamp on it and let's make it something to remember.
I agree. It shouldn't. You're right. We shouldn't be questioning the finish. We shouldn't be talking about what's going to happen. It should have been the big triumphant win for Becky.
Continuing on here, let's go to Jay, who is on the line from Markham. Jay, what are you saying about tonight's show?
Good evening, Toronto, and welcome to the WrestleMania edition of Sunday Night.
All right, Jay. Okay, thanks for the call, Jay. Bye-bye. Let's go to Paul from New Jersey, because I don't know what was happening there. Paul, you always make valid points. We don't need two of those in a row. What you got? What are you saying, Paul?
Well, I certainly hope I won't be number three, because I want to talk about the real women's main event, my women's main event, and that was the Iconics winning the tag titles.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was awesome. I get such a kick out of them.
They are great, but don't you worry about what the matches are going to be like now, though?
I do. I think they are, like, in all seriousness, I think they are a little shaky in the ring. I'm looking forward to the promos and them kind of being chicken-ass heels a little bit.
Honky-tonk. Right. Honky-tonk-ish.
Yeah,
exactly. I kind of see that being a thing. But also, like, all right, I get it's a long show. I totally understand that. But if I'm Triple H, I hope he's taking a cold shower being like, man, this guy keeps killing WrestleManias. Like, I was watching the show with a bunch of different wrestling fans, all different kinds, and they enjoyed everything up until Triple H Batista, and everyone just died. And, like, I think that's it. He just keeps doing that every year, and I just think that's a little indicative. I don't need to see Triple H in a 25-minute match anymore.
No, I don't think anyone does.
It's true. And it's like he feels it's his... you know, it's his thing. It's like, oh, well, I deserve to have this match at WrestleMania once a year or something. It's like, you know, it's ridiculous. We don't even see you most of the year, and you get a prime spot on the biggest show every year.
Like, well, I mean, listen, Mouth. No, I he is Triple H, and I think if he does wrestle, he deserves a prime spot, but he doesn't need 25 minutes
of
it. You know what I mean?
I don't think he needs it every year.
I don't think so either. And, I mean, he puts himself on, he's puts himself on the Saudi Arabian shows as well. I guess by request of the prince type of deal. With the blood money, but didn't need to be here this year at all.
No, it didn't. The build up was really short and flimsy, and I had no desire. This was all done because Batista wanted it. Batista wanted this. No one. I didn't want this. You didn't want this. No fans didn't want this. If we did a poll, I don't think most people would say they wanted this. So it was a mistake. It didn't. It shouldn't have. I mean, maybe you could have done it on another pay per view. Maybe even made it the headline match on another pay-per-view, but I just didn't want to see it at WrestleMania, that's all.
Let's do one more before we take a break, and then we're going to stop in and chat with Dave Meltzer, but our next call is going to be Angelo from Brampton, and if this is the Angelo that I think it is, all you wanted was Becky with those two titles. Is that this Angelo?
All I wanted was Becky holding two titles up at the end, and I'll tell you, though, after a phenomenal weekend of wrestling, I do agree that the triple threat match was very underwhelming.
Yeah.
After watching Gargano and his match with Cole,
yep.
after watching Kofi and Daniel Bryan steal the show, you know, if they take out that Triple H Batista match, the girls can go a little longer. And I don't understand how you can write such great matches like we saw Friday night and a bunch that we saw tonight. And then, you know, you rush the main event and, you know, you go off the air just like that. But you know what? I would have liked to have seen, like, when Charlotte went through the table, I'm like, all right, cool. Charlotte's out. They're going to put Becky in, or they're going to put Ronda in the disarmer. And I tell you, Ronda taking the pin was perfect, because had Charlotte done it, it would have been the biggest cop-out of the entire storyline. So kudos to Ronda Rousey, who gained my respect tonight, because you want to be a wrestler, you want to be you want to get respect in the business. Sometimes you got to lay down 1, 2, 3, and she did that. And
Angelo,
it was great.
Hold on though, Angelo. I think to Mouth's point earlier with that finish, don't you think she laid down for 1, 2, and then played her boo boo face afterwards, and seems to be upset, and that's going to be what we see on Raw tomorrow night?
Well, actually, I rewound it and I looked at it, and her one shoulder was up for 1, and then they were down for 2 and 3.
I can't believe you did that.
If you want to be technical,
okay.
So they are probably going to cry about it tomorrow night.
Yes.
And listen, if this sets up Ronda Becky for Money in the Bank, and we get a 6-week bill to that,
yeah.
I'm in, because that's what it should have been tonight. I found that the main event was a little cluttered with Charlotte in it. And from the beginning, I didn't like the idea of the triple threat.
No.
I thought they did a pretty good job, but I still think Becky Ronda one-on-one classic WrestleMania match would have been better. But at the end of the day, she held the titles up. So Kofi wins, the Iconics win, Becky wins, Seth wins. The reset was beautiful, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next.
All right, Angelo, keep your love fest alive. I'm glad you got what you wanted.
He always manages to find something that he loves out of it. You know, that's pretty good, because sometimes that's really hard.
He's been on the Becky train for a long time, though. He has wanted this to happen, so he got what he wanted tonight.
I'm kind of curious now, what happens with Charlotte? What happens with Charlotte now? Because I honestly, in my thoughts were, because it was all the talk that Ronda might be leaving after mm-hmm. Mania, I thought the focus would be more on Becky and Charlotte at the end of the match. So I'm kind of curious, does she just go back? I mean, she doesn't have a title now either, right? So
Charlotte didn't get pinned for the title.
Yeah.
So that's the program right there.
I guess that's it.
You know what I mean?
Right there,
it's kind of perfect in that way. Oh, we're going to take a break. Dave Meltzer is going to join us next for the Wrestling Observer Insider. We'll get his take on what happened at Mania. Also, this is where we'll probably dig into the Bret Hart situation with the unfortunate and gross event that happened at the incident that happened at the Hall of Fame.
I want to talk about the gross incident that happened at the Ring of Honor MSG show too.
Oh, okay. Yes. Enzo and Cass are back. They're reunited, friends.
Woo-hoo.
We'll talk about that when we return. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to Sunday night's main event. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, it's available right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month, which works out to $1 a show if you're just listening to the weekly show, but we'll also throw in all the bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit us right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio.